The following podcast is intended for listeners over the age of 18. It contains mature subjects and adult discussion. Listener discretion is advised. As we are not doctors or psychologists, all advice is for novelty purposes only. All advice and discussion comes from our own personal experiences. Yours may well be different.
Welcome to the Swing Set. Climb on up. There's always a swing available. On Life on the Swing Set, the podcast, we explore open relationships and swinging. The pleasures and passions, the promise and pitfalls. We discuss all aspects of swinging in a fun, open, and welcoming fashion with a gleam in our eye, a bounce in our step, our hand down your pants. Ooh, sorry, got ahead of myself. We may be biased. In fact, we most certainly are. But we don't sugarcoat, and each of us speaks honestly and earnestly about our thoughts, ideas, and experiences throughout our very own lives on the swing set. Thanks for swinging by.
Fellas, are you looking to spice things up in the bedroom? Been fantasizing about surprising your lover with an adventurous new toy or adult movie? Well, here's an offer you won't be able to resist. Go to adamandeve.com, and for a limited time only, you'll get 50% off just about any item. But that's not all. Oh, no. When you select your one item at 50% off, you'll also receive 3 free adult DVDs for a little inspiration. Plus a free extra gift so sensual I can't even mention it on the radio. And to top it all off, we'll even throw in free shipping on your entire order. And no, we're not teasing. So check out adamandeve.com today for this special offer. Get 50% off one item when you type swing set for the offer code upon checkout. When you do, you'll get 3 free DVDs, a free extra gift, and free shipping. Just use offer code SWINGSET at adamandeve.com. Welcome to Life on the Swing Set, the podcast. Well, we've talked about setting up dates. We've talked about making online profiles. We've gone into detail about house parties and more. But all this time, we've sort of steered our way around clubs, very important meetup environments for the non-monogamously inclined. The main reason we've avoided this subject is, well, selfish, because I'd never been to one of these places, and, you know, neither had Dylan. But now, bum bum bum, we have. So tonight, we're discussing meeting people and playing at clubs. I'm Cooper Beckett, and tonight with me, I have...
Hey everybody, it's Ginger.
A wild Dylan appears.
And Shira B. Katz.
And if you see a Dylan in the wild, you should kill it. Because that's the only way to put one on your wall.
No, you throw your Pokeball at it.
Wait, what are we throwing at it?
Your Pokeball.
Oh, he's a pokey thing.
A pokey.
it's called a pokey?
A pocket monster, if you will. I'm going to stop talking because I'll never get laid again.
See,
you can tell who has kids here.
Unlike if Dylan or I was talking about this. You talking about this actually makes you sexier.
Are you sure?
It's the paradox of women geeks. Yeah, totally.
Okay, I'm going to take your word on this one.
Well, we should have our listeners, you know, send us messages if they'd still like to fuck Shira. Despite her, I don't know, Pokemon fetish?
Do you enjoy video games, Shira?
I actually am a big gamer geek. Not as much lately since poly people are notoriously busy and don't have time for such things, but when I can, I like to sneak it in. For example, I just finished Dragon Age 2, and it was totally super awesome.
Nice, nice.
See, totally. Getting hotter by the moment.
You know, Fenris was super hot in that game. Anyhow, let's talk about business, guys.
Yes, somebody has business, and I think it might be the one who's trying to change the subject, so we're going to let her go ahead and do that.
It's totally true. Actually, this is something I had been meaning to talk to Ginger about for a little while, because from what I hear, she's had a very different experience than I have, but I recently got my IUD removed. I had a Mirena IUD for approximately... Yeah, about 1 year exactly, and I got it out because I was having some difficulties, and I'm very excited. Ever since I got it out, things have been much better. But
would you elaborate on the difficulties?
Yeah, I was just having, like, weird menstrual cycle issues coupled with anemia, which was making me kind of pass out and fall over. But all better now, right? But there was other side effects that I didn't realize that I was having while I had the Mirena IUD in that kind of went away after it was removed. For example, once I started having sex again with the Mirena IUD out, I realized that I finally, like, let go of some weird nervous tension I had about being fucked really hard with the IUD in. Oh. Like, Ginger, I don't know if you've experienced this at all, but, like, my partner's kind of on the big side, so, like, whenever he fucked me really hard, I would bleed afterwards, and then it would turn into, like, this weird cycle of, like, me getting nervous and, like, clenching up and not being super receptive to, you know, harder play in the bedroom, and so that went away. And also, I lost, like, 7 pounds while eating terribly. Within a month after getting the IUD out, I just weight just, like, kind of dropped away really quickly, and I don't know. But I got it out, and I'm super excited. I feel like I have, like, some piece of my sexuality back.
Hmm. Wow. Well, good. Good for you in that sense. I mean, that's great. I mean, that's definitely a, you know, peace of mind from that perspective. That's, it's interesting because I have an IUD and have had a completely different experience, and it's almost kind of something I don't think about really anymore, which is kind of the idea of getting an IUD. And this particular IUD that the Mirena has the localized hormones, so that tends to control your cycle, so tends to free you up, or at least most women have very little, if any, period. So that seems to be contraception choice that people are really into because it gives you this freedom. But I get where you're coming from in terms of, like, the rough sex piece and the deep, hard fucking, because it certainly crossed my mind. But having not had any, I don't know, negative consequences from that, I've not really thought much about it. But I do remember pointedly asking about that when I first saw my gyno and said, you know, what happens if there's really intense sex? And her response was basically kind of an embarrassed sort of chuckle. And then, you know, she kind of was hedging and said, well, you know, it couldn't get rough enough to dislodge it. Ha ha, blush, blush. And I, you know, and then in my mind, I'm thinking, well, yes, it could.
You're thinking maybe not the way you have sex.
Right, right. Well, it's interesting because obviously she was seeing it from the perspective of her own experiences. And so therefore, that was her answer. But, you know, it's something to consider, I think. But bottom line is it's really about what works for you. And that's great that you're feeling better and feeling more comfortable and more confident. And
It's just so funny because it wasn't even, because it was the IUD, it wasn't even anything I ever thought about. With, I mean, I've always kind of had, like, these long, extended, longer than average periods, and the Mirena kind of just kept that up. But when my doctor said that it might be kind of conflicting with my anemia and making me faint, I was like, oh, that's too bad. I guess I'm going to have to get it out. Mm-hmm. And then I got it out. I'm like, oh my God, life is amazing again. And so I don't know. It must be all in my head.
Well, I'm glad you're feeling better. I'm too bad. It's almost too bad it didn't work out, though. I know that, you know, there are obvious reasons that you got it in the first place. I actually have an experience from the other side of that equation. My wife has an IUD, one of the copper-based ones, and during particularly rough sex sessions, I actually, right after she got it, we didn't have sex for a few weeks, right? And the first time I did, I thought I felt something poking me from
on
the inside.
Yeah, oh, sure.
And it didn't go away for, like, the first week or so, and I'm like, Tonya, can I stick my finger inside you for a second? Yeah. All right, I'm going to be in there for a little while longer than usual. And I started feeling around in there in a totally not sexual, but as clinical as I could do way. And I'm like, oh, yeah, all right, there it is, I suppose. And so it made more sense. And of course, as the weeks went on, it became less noticeable until it, you know, pretty much went away. So, but yeah.
So as a final weirdo story, because I'm kind of a sex nerd, when the doctor took it out, when I finally got it out, I'm like, can I keep it, please? So now I have my own little Marina IUD.
Oh, that's awesome.
Would you take a picture and post it on the website?
I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that. I think that whatever traffic that might create might be the wrong kind of web traffic.
I don't know if there is a huge fetishy demand for IUD pictures.
You know, I'm sure that in these days of the internet, there's somebody out there that's looking for that kind of thing.
So does anyone have, and it won't be hard, sexier news than what I have?
Well, I think that's you know, it's sexy on the side because it is about, you know, figuring out how to make, I mean, you know, be as sexually well as you can be. And certainly, I mean, it's a big responsibility to be responsible about your contraception. So it's a big conversation to be had. And I think it's important. So it's definitely something to consider, you know, for everyone. And I think you sharing that experience, and then, you know, me having essentially the counterpoint, I mean, mm-hmm. it just illustrates that one choice for one woman may be the perfect choice, and the choice for another woman may be that it doesn't work out for her. So you just got to do what works for you.
Yeah, totally. And once I figure out what I'm going to do about my personal contraceptive again, I'll have more business. But until then, I'm rather undecided. It's all condoms for us.
Well, there you go. So I do actually have some interesting business to share. The other day, I guess it was last week, Prof went to drinks with the she of
the missus.
A couple, the missus, thank you, of a couple that we met once, and it was just the two of them, and they went to drinks. Ooh. And that was like big stuff for us.
That's really exciting. How'd you feel?
I was so excited. I'm on kind of a compersion, like super wave, like really just thrilled about that. And then we're also, separate business, but gearing up for a party where Prof is going to get to spend time with someone who the chemistry has been building over time. So I'm all about him these days. But certainly the independent drink date was awesome. I mean, I was just so excited. I couldn't wait. I wanted him to stay out, but then I wanted him to come back so I could hear all the details.
So what kind of date is this? So as the poly girl, I hear date. I'm like, ooh, he's dating. What does that mean as a swinger? Was it like maybe a tryout for solo play dates in the future? Was it tryout for like a girlfriend thing?
Well, in this particular case, it was, we had met this couple once, and she does go on solo dates. And at this point, that's not something that we have done as a matter of course. I mean, it's happened very, just very, very limited. And it was after a long period of time with our lady friend who was our girlfriend for a couple of years, and I would go spend time with her, but that was just that. I mean, it was kind of a standalone thing. So otherwise in our swinger dating, we've not really done anything like this. So it was a solo date, but not more than just drinks. I mean, we knew that that's was going to be the case, that it was just going to be drinks.
And is that a level that you're comfortable with more so than should he go out on a play date with her or a weekend night date?
Actually, no. I'm game for all of it. I mean, I think that is super sexy. That's one of the things that is interesting, that is a huge turn on for me. I love when Prof is close and we're playing, but the idea of him going out and having independent dates, whether that's more of a longer term friends with benefits date, which is really kind of how we date anyway. As we've talked about, our swinger friends are very close to us. So it would probably be someone who would be in our life regardless.
Mm-hmm.
And they would just go out and date. And if it were a sexy date where they were going to play, that would be really hot for me too. But his style is much more, he likes to have me in the midst. It like gives him energy when we're playing, when we're near one another.
That sounds very cute. I'm excited for you guys.
And Marilyn and I actually just had our first night where we each went on a separate date. Usually our solo dates are because the other person is occupied with something. And, you know, like I'm occupied and she wants to go out and have a date. So that's fine. But this was the first time we've actually both decided, okay, we're going to go, I'm going to go here, you're going to go here, and that's cool. It was very different and interesting.
You guys are so cute.
I haven't had an opportunity to send Tonya out on a date yet, just because usually I've been the one that's a little more free, so I've obviously been on a few.
You know what's so funny is you guys are all talking about this, and just recently I started talking to my primary partner about maybe the possibility of dating together. So we're all evolving around here.
Oh, isn't that fun?
we're
moving toward each other on the spectrum.
We really are.
We're crossing the streams, I think.
Oh, no. That's bad news.
Well, only in Ghostbusters.
Yeah, in real life, it sounds kind of hot. Anyhow, I want to hear about your guys' club.
Okay. Well, okay, I guess business is over then.
Oh, it doesn't have to be over, but I'm getting really excited to hear about it.
Well, it sounds like the business wrap-up was just at the end here is, you know, everybody's dating. Everybody's going on dates of different various sundry sorts, which is
in fact,
really
Marilyn has a standing Monday date now.
Oh, wow.
With the missus of one of our friendly couples, who the mister is away on business a lot, and so Marilyn's been keeping her company on Mondays.
Well, that's fun.
Mm-hmm, lady
dates. I'm gonna keep encouraging Prof to meet up with the missus and of that couple, and that's just a habit I want to encourage because I was like way turned on when he got home.
And I am jealous about her Monday dates, but mostly it's because of the awesome food and wine they seem to be having every week. That's it. Otherwise, it's all compersion all the way down. Okay, so this past weekend, Dylan, Tonya, Marilyn, and I, and our lovely girlfriend decided to go and experience one of Chicago's clubs in the southwest suburbs of Chicago called Couples Playhouse. And we were a little overwhelmed walking in because there was so much going on, and we immediately got taken for the tour of the club. And what's funny is the tour started in a converted garage because they want to take advantage of every square foot of this place. And because it was in the beginning of a garage and you have to kind of go around the side, the walls were sort of unfinished. So it reminded me of a haunted house built in a garage, you know, with dim lighting. You walk in, you're not sure exactly.
And the black lights.
Dim lighting and black lights. And immediately when you walk in, there's a turn, you know, so it's clear there's something around this corner. And it was just my very, very first impression was, whoa, where are we going? What's going on here? But what was really cool was we pulled in and a guy met us by the gate with a clipboard. And we gave him the names, and then we were waved into a parking spot. So it felt very secret society. You know, the house was set back in the woods, and we were in the middle of nowhere. And it really got that secret society vibe.
By the way, the password was Purple Monkey Dishwasher.
I'm looking at the pictures online, Cooper, and it does look an awful lot like a house, but also kind of looks fun and cozy.
Well, it really does. It's almost like a 3,000 or 4,000 square foot log cabin type thing with, you know, a really large vaulted ceiling. And within 5 minutes of being there, I just kind of had my... I was pushing my jaw back up because I was kind of slack-jawed, and it's like, wow, it was very, very nice.
When the homey thing really made the difference for me, because the reason I've avoided clubs is I'm not into loud music, crowded area. That I get claustrophobic when there's a lot of people around in a crowded area, and it's very loud. And this is why I didn't spend much time in the disco in Desire. It was just too much sensory overload going on. And so I'd avoided that because I'd heard that that was really what the clubs in the area were. And when I saw the pictures of this place, it was clear that this was a house that had that dance floor area, but it also had general living space. It had a nice, simple kitchen. It had a pool. It had hot tubs. So there was always a way to get away from that droning thump that I just can't even deal with.
When I walked in the house, it's kind of divided into a few separate activity areas, not a few different play areas, just kind of zones where different things tend to happen. There's obviously the and I say obviously because every place has to have a major play area, orgy area, whatever. The entire upstairs area is divided into a few different bedrooms where people can get together in different combinations. Every room pretty much has at least two beds that make a very, very large play area. There are just tons of things happening up there. There's a sex swing up there. Oh yeah,
I love sex swings.
Yeah. So the visuals on the sex swing were pretty nice. I'd actually never seen one in action before, which should give you an idea of how new I am to all this stuff. But that was a lot of fun.
You have to see ours in action.
Ooh,
it's all right, very then. Hot in action.
Oh yeah. And so, you know, there are like three or four different, you know, areas upstairs where people could kind of play separately but play together. There's the more chill, relaxed, you know, lounge-ish downstairs area. Well, a first level area that has, you know, a big screen TV and a kitchen, food, stuff like that. It's kind of just a area where you can kind of decompress and not worry about too much. There's the basement area that has an aquarium, the disco, the dance, you know, the disco dance floor, the bar-ish area where you can serve your own drinks. And then there's a pool area with a hot tub, and then there's a very, very large outdoor area with its own bonfire, you know, outdoor fountain and outdoor hot tub, which we decided to take advantage of within, oh, I'd say 30, 45 minutes of being there.
Is that about right? Yeah. Well, we were on our tour of this place, and you know, every area, we got there very early, so there wasn't a lot going on at the beginning. And we were on our tour, and the last part of our tour pulled us around and we saw this outside hot tub, and it's been a very unseasonably chilly spring. And, because of that, you know, I don't think it was going to be used by many people. And we thought, hey, well, let's start with getting in that really, really, really warm hot tub out here in, on the back patio. And so we sort of rendezvoused out there and hung out and just saw it start filling up, because the place really, really did start filling up by like 9:30. One thing I was really kind of blown away by was the quality of the food there. You know, most clubs will offer some sort of buffet dinner because they don't want you worrying about it, and they don't want you having to leave to go get food. And they had some really great food. They had some fettuccine Alfredo, and we had my favorite was the homemade sloppy joes, actually.
Those are pretty good.
That was excellent.
Well, I'll tell you, one thing that the club definitely did right was the kind of new member experience.
Absolutely.
We had somebody dedicated to kind of keeping tabs on us most of the night. And
we actually had a few people who seemed dedicated to keeping tabs on us.
Yeah, they kind of adopted us in different combinations just to, you know, make sure we were all doing okay. You know, introduce us to people, just kind of keep things moving, making sure we're not just kind of hiding in a corner. And it was pretty nice.
It wasn't overwhelming to kind of have someone there interacting with you? And
just having somebody there wasn't wasn't overwhelming. I think once I went into hyper.
Dylan went into politician mode.
Yeah, I totally went into politician mode.
He was glad handing like I've never seen someone glad hand before.
For almost
every single person he saw, he said hi, asked how they. I mean, you'd think he worked for the club in new couple relations.
For almost 4 straight hours, I was totally in politician mode and just on a, you know, a giddy high of just, you know, being there and seeing everybody, and just the whole environment was really nice. And then right around 12:30 or 1 o'clock or so, I kind of just had to sit down and go, and for the next half hour to 45 minutes, I kind of just sat back and watched everything happen. And it was nice to be able to do that. Well, we got there.
We got there at 8, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So,
yeah, he went straight. He organized volleyball games in the pool. He was really, they should put him on the payroll. And the reason it wasn't overwhelming to have people, you know, when we say people looking after us, it's not like someone was following us around asking us if we were having a good time. It's there were the M, who is in charge of signups, and she was the one who invited us to come. She had asked a few people to check in with us a few times. And while we were sitting out in the hot tub, we had two girls come out and say hi to us and do a little flirting, which was nice, and make us feel comfortable, ask if we needed anything, if we're having fun. But it wasn't a constant thing. It did seem to be wherever we went, though, there was another new person who would say hi to us. And Dylan retaliated by getting one of the girls and to jump in the pool with us and play volleyball.
Naked volleyball, by the way.
Naked volleyball.
Oh, yes.
Of course.
Nothing like swimming in a pool.
You don't go in the pool with any sort of clothing on at a place like this.
Absolutely not. That would be a faux pas.
Yeah.
So aside from couples playhouse, I don't think I you know, this is my first club experience in general, so I have to kind of give my opinion of going to a club here. It's not, you know, the kind of swinging that I've been talking about since we started the podcast is really the you know, the most people that we get in a room is really dependent on how many people we invite to something and we know. So we almost always know everybody that we see at a party or at any sort of get together. This was different. This really felt like me jumping into a bar, single, trying to find somebody to, you know, to find that might be interesting or be interested in me. And it was just new. I hadn't felt that whole, you know, almost single person grind in a long time. And it wasn't intimidating or bad or anything, but it was just a completely different experience because I had to go and say hi to people that I had never met before, which isn't a big deal, but I had to keep doing it because, you know, there are so many people there, and there's got to be somebody that might be interesting or interested in you. So,
did you find that overwhelming? Because I mean, we've talked a few times throughout the night, and we kept, you know, rendezvousing with our little group, but I didn't ask. It's like, did you find the experience of meeting new people at this place overwhelming, encouraging, exciting?
I think it was overwhelming at first, and it wasn't anything wrong with the place. It was just that we hadn't done it in such a long time that we didn't really remember how. I mean, I know how to be, you know, politician Dylan, of course, but that's different. There's a difference between that and kind of getting another couple's attention and really getting intimately involved in conversation and, you know, potentially making other things happen after that. That's not something we've really done in that kind of atmosphere in a long time. So it felt kind of overwhelming and we had to take a couple breaks in the middle. But you know, that was okay. The place is very conducive to getting out and getting your bearings, you know, catching a little bit of air outside or getting a drink and just kind of sitting back and reconnecting with, you know, your partner and then going back and hitting it up again.
I can tell, those who are lucky enough to have unicorns in your circle,
oh, God,
bringing a unicorn to a club is like bringing, you know, a giant I have money sign to a con artist convention.
I was jealous in the best kind of way because you had so many. It was like bringing a key to, you know, 100 locks.
That's a much better. What the hell are those things called? Metaphor. than my bringing a money sign to a con artist convention.
I will say this, though. Having said the unicorn thing, one of the other things we've always pretty consistently said is that it's pretty female-driven. The whole, you know, whether something happens when you're meeting other people or, you know, so, to help move things along. It really depends on whether the women do it, just because, I don't know, it's always worked out that way. And it definitely holds up in the club. I'm going to admit something. You know, I had a lot of fun, and I'm going to go back. But we've had some bad luck lately, Tonya and I, and not with swinging, but with her body.
Timing.
Yes, the timing of her cycles have been absolutely terrible lately, to the point where the last, I think 4 out of 5 of the last events of some sort we've tried to attend, she's been on her cycle. It's just worked out that way. And the worst part about it was that this time she wasn't even supposed to have her cycle for another week and a half. It just popped up a couple days before. So, so her experience was that she was dealing with the typical cycle things. You know, she had a headache, she, you know, felt a little more bloated than usual, and she had to deal with some cramps. But instead of, you know, tuning it out or just not wanting to be there, you know, Tonya didn't feel, she felt very comfortable. And I think the fact that she was dealing with the cycle stuff and was still having fun was pretty cool. And I think it speaks a lot to the kind of club atmosphere that they had there. Having said that, she didn't feel very sensual while she was there. So we didn't get with anyone. I played a little bit and had a little bit of fun. And it was a very, very long and arduous tease. until, you know, Tonya and I fell asleep together and finally got, you know, that through. Or got through with that. But, you know, she wasn't feeling it. And there were so many doors that it seems like... I would get involved in talking to couples. Or just the ladies. And things would be going really well, but there was a point where I felt like I was hitting a wall, not because they weren't interested in talking to me or because I wasn't, you know, interesting or interested in them, but because the logical next step was to start a little bit of light playing or to have or to watch Tonya see if she liked their partner or even like the person I was talking to. And then if that happened, you know, other things would develop. But that component wasn't there because she wasn't on the top of her game because of her cycle. So that whole mechanism for making the next stage happen wasn't there, which is, you know, why we didn't end up sleeping with anybody when we were there. So, you know, that can happen not just because of a cycle, but, you know, if things aren't going right in life or, you know, if you're stressed out by a bunch of stuff, you know, any number of things can kind of cause you not to be in the game. But you know, if you're gonna get with another couple in pretty much any circumstance, including a club, you kind of both have to be firing on all cylinders for it to work. And I think, considering, you know, Tonya was on her cycle, she did really, really well, and we met a lot of cool people. But, you know, so even though our experience was really good at the club, we didn't end up sleeping anyone because of that.
Did you go expecting to play?
Before we found out she was on her cycle, yes. I didn't know how much or with who, or even if at all, but I was expecting that I'd want to. And I did when I was there. I met some really cool people.
While you were there, what kind of club was it? Was, like, the sex, like, everywhere? Was people?
Yeah, there's no restriction to where you could have sex. There were people having sex everywhere.
Well, there was no restriction on it, but it wasn't... Okay, every... I shot, or every vista I saw didn't have somebody having sex in it, but it usually had naked people being together or people kissing or something like that. There wasn't a lot of outright fucking on every single surface everywhere, so it wasn't crawling with people fucking all over the place. There was a dance club or a dance part where people were dancing. There were couches where people were sitting and flirting and kissing, and there was like a bar area where people were kind of just sitting and drinking and watching the people dancing. There was a pool area where people were actively, you know, playing volleyball or... doing stuff in the pool, and then there were hot tubs where people were chilling. It was kind of like just a normal hangout where people happened to get a lot, you know, a lot more friendly with each other. So it wasn't, it was overwhelming and in a lot of ways, but I don't think it was like the sexual energy was oppressive or anything like that there. I didn't feel pressured to get involved in something. I didn't feel like I was the only one not doing that.
Hello, listeners. You know, a lot of sex toys come across our desks here at Life on the Swing Set. Some of them are good, but many are forgettable. Then there are the products from close to you. These toys are musically named because music is the language of passion. They rise to the top, superior instruments of pleasure that you can't wait to play with again and again. Close to You's entire line of toys are the cream of the crop. Their vibrators and anal beads are elegant, soft, and most wonderfully waterproof. Pick up Close to You's Legamento Clit Vibe today at EdenFantasies.com.
Hey, Cooper, guess what?
What's that, Shira?
I just found the most amazingly sex-positive, eco-friendly, progressive, female-run sex shop.
Oh, really? This place sounds great. Who are these people, and how did they get the elusive Shira B. Cat stamp of approval?
They have the cutest name. They're called Smitten Kitten. Their brick-and-mortar store is located in Minneapolis, and their online shop is located at www.smittenkittenonline.com. They specialize in high-quality sex toys and equipment for people of all genders and sexual orientations. Handmade, one-of-a-kind items, non-toxic, medical-grade toys, educational books and DVDs, and even ethically produced porn on demand.
Oh, Shira.
What?
Get with the times! Everybody knows about SmittenKittenOnline.com. In fact, Life on the Swing Set has partnered with Smitten Kitten to give all of our listeners a 10% discount when they buy items from their online store. All our listeners have to do is enter the code SWINGSET at checkout, and boom! Discount.
No way. I can use it too? They have the super hot harness I got my eye on.
Absolutely. In fact, I invite you and all of our listeners to go to smittenkittenonline.com and use the product code SWINGSET. Not only will you get 10% off your purchase, but you'll also be supporting one of the most progressive and sex-positive businesses in the industry.
All right, Cooper, I'm on it. www.smittenkittenonline.com. Discount code SWINGSET.
You'll be glad you came.
What about you, Cooper? Did you play?
Did I play? Yes, but not. I was talking to Ginger about this earlier. It's we have a lot of parties, Marilyn and I, and because of that, you know, you sort of see it as this is the way group interactions happen, you know. And at these parties, we generally will play and fuck multiple people. I mean, that part of it is the fact that we know them all. And we have relationships with them, and they're all very busy. So therefore, when they can all get together at once, there's a lot of, hey, we haven't seen you in a while. Let's go spend some time together, you know. And so going to a club, you know, you just sort of naturally assume, and I wouldn't use expectations because I know expectations are bad. I wouldn't use that term, but you sort of assume that, okay, well, this is sort of our dynamic. This is how we play at our parties. This is how we played at Desire. So this seems to be how we will probably play tonight. And what I found interesting is both Marilyn and I only had sex with each other. We didn't have any beyond our, you know, we played with other people, but it was much less intensive and much less quick to accelerate than I thought it would be. And it wasn't disappointing in any way. It was just not what I expected, which is interesting.
It's so interesting to hear you, actually both of you guys, Dylan and Cooper, talk about just kind of thinking things through ahead of time and just, it's that it was your first time at a club. I think that's so cool that you went and had a great time and things weren't maybe didn't go down the way you expected in your mind's eye over, you know, as you've been dreaming of the day that you would get to go to a club for the first time.
But isn't that every little swinger's dream to one day go to a club?
Right. But you went and had a great time anyway. And I just reflect on my experiences and when Prof and I go to clubs, and we've been to many, many clubs and regularly go to our more local club, and I'm trying to like categorize what our experiences are typically like if we had to have a typical experience. And as I'm thinking about it, we absolutely do not have a typical experience going to even the same club. And I think that's so interesting. Like, we don't have I think about all the different times we've been to our club, and we have had it's just everything. We've played, we've not played, we've had group experiences, we've been with one other person, we've been with just each other, we've gone and just flirted all night, and that was it. I mean, we always obviously take it back to our room and enjoy each other because he's irresistible, and that's just needs to happen.
He is dashing.
That is true. So it's interesting because my favorite part of going to any club, whether it's our local club or one that we're exploring, is the flirt. It's the club atmosphere and the buzzing from person to person and meeting new people and just the general erotic energy in the space. I mean, obviously playing is great, but one of the things that I think about when I'm on my way or when we're on our way together, which we're always getting, you know, excited about going, and we're going to go and do some primping and get ready, and maybe there's a theme, so we're putting on, you know, we're going to put on costumes or whatever. But I'm always, despite what happens up till that point, even if I'm feeling not so great or just not up for it or whatever, going to the club always gets me in a hyper mood, like ready. and it's not so much about the actual like playing or the sex. It's about, this is going to be a fun night because more than likely we'll know some people there, because especially our local club, or even if we're somewhere else, we try to get connected with friends that we've met at Desire or other places, and we'll meet up with them or whatever. But it's just the club atmosphere. It's just, and I hear what you're saying, Cooper, about the music and that kind of stuff. And, you know, I enjoy the dancing aspect, so that's more of a positive. It makes it harder to chat, but you can usually find a quiet corner. But just knowing that everybody there is sex positive, there's just something I can just cut loose in a way that I can't anywhere else.
Yes.
Absolutely. And I think it's interesting, you know, you mentioned the flirting thing, and this is something that I've been dealing with, is I have, in group situations, I have this neuroses that causes me to throw a little breadcrumbs out there to see if there's interest. And if I don't get an immediate, somewhat interested response, I back off completely. And that's been something I'm trying to get over, because I know for a fact that a few of the people I've thrown out these breadcrumbs to didn't even notice that I threw out the breadcrumbs.
Right.
And so therefore they had no idea I was interested. And then by that point, I was already in my hurt spiral. Oh, I guess they're not interested in me. And therefore maybe was too aloof. And so they thought I wasn't interested in them.
You're saying this happened at the club?
No, no, this happens in general.
Oh,
this
okay,
is
okay.
This is the Tao of Cooper, okay, right here.
This is your ninja way. Got it.
And so what I've been trying to do and have been working on is to distance myself from that point of view as much as possible, because I realize it's toxic. And I actually managed to play a long, I want to say long con, but that's not, you know, that's not the appropriate way to go with this, but a long flirt throughout the night with one of the people we met at the very beginning. Her name is Elle, and she's this beautiful African-American woman.
Oh, she was a fantastic kisser.
Just gorgeous. Wow. and great kisser. And we met her very early on, and then I would see her just briefly throughout the night, and every time she'd see if we were doing good, if I was having a good time. Maybe there'd be a little flirting, maybe there'd be a little kissing. And I didn't obsess about it, which I think is an incredibly momentous occasion for me, and that's what's very cool about this. And throughout the night, more and more, we would see each other, and then at the very end of the night, she apologized for not being around more, and it kept getting pulled away, and you know, she was working, so that it is what it is. And I said, well, maybe next time we could have some time to spend with each other. And she said, no, there's no maybe about it. Next time we will spend time with each other. And that was just such a cool way to end the evening, you know, because it proved that the time investment pays off, and that it's okay to just spend the evening flirting, because even if it didn't pay off, even if it wasn't for anything more, I certainly enjoyed all that time flirting, and it was a big reassignment of my point of view.
I think that's awesome that you just had fun with that and really put aside what I think is on the minds of a lot of people when they go to a club at first, is that this is a place where people go to play. And so right. Everyone is there to play. And maybe they are and maybe they aren't. But I think that that aspect of the whole club atmosphere, or just, you know, lifestyle in general, is being able to have that long flirt is just delicious. Like that anticipation. And I always go to the, maybe that's the complete experience with that person. Mm-hmm. Is this is someone that you flirt with regularly. And I say this with a particular person in mind, a really hot gentleman who I like to see regularly at our club. And he's my flirt guy. Like there's definitely chemistry. And I know that if we, you know, if there was a little more friction body wise, that things could get really, really hot. But I like that it's on the flirt level. I like that it's very, it's witty and it's quick and it's happens on a regular basis when we see each other at the club, that we'll flirt and we'll flirt throughout the night like that, and we'll dance occasionally, and there's tweaking and playing and all of that, but then that's it, and then we'll see each other the next time, and it's just that much, you know, we're that much, I don't know what, hotter for each other in some way. And whether it goes anywhere beyond that, I either way is fine, because I'm having such an awesome time. And this, I mean, we're talking like months and months and months that this has gone on, like maybe even a year, that I see him regularly at the club. We flirt. That's what it is. And it just gears me up and revs me up for prof or wherever, whatever else direction we're going in that night. I can't even talk because he just like gets me just thinking about him. I'm like, oh, we get to flirt this weekend. Yay.
I want a long-term flirt buddy.
Yes. You should get one.
Yeah.
You were flirting with everybody.
Oh God. Yes. The whole night was, well, it wasn't, you know, with one person, but yeah, the whole night.
I mean, I was impressed as hell. Okay.
I could totally see
I
that.
I do Dylan. Have that issue. And I have that problem with making that identified, calculated, that, okay, I'm going to start flirting. And
it does just kind of happen for me.
Do you flip a switch?
I will admit, though, it's kind of nice to hear that. I actually take that as a big compliment from you, Cooper.
No, I mean, you were, seriously, I was watching you as we were hanging out. It's just like, it was politician Dylan, but it was Bill Clinton politician Dylan. It was with every single woman you saw, just like, hey, and how you doing, and how long have you been doing this, and oh, well, really, this is interesting. Oh, it's our first time here, you know.
That takes such confidence.
It was stunning.
Well played, Dylan.
Oh boy. Well, hey, Ginger, one thing you mentioned earlier, you mentioned sexual energy, and there were so many concurrent different types of energy going along through the night. But the sexual energy you're talking about specifically, I felt like I could walk into a room and it would be thick with sexual energy. Like I could I could put my finger out and just kind of swipe it in the air and then lick it and just taste the sexual energy. It was intoxicating walking through areas like that. And then I could drop out into, you know, just an area around a hot tub where it'd just be kind of people chilling and relaxing. And, you know, I could chat them up about just pretty much anything. And it was really nice. But that sexual energy there, even without you having to participate in it, was just really nice to be around and experience. And, you know, the other thing that kind of goes along with that is that, you know, everybody is kind of comfortable being naked at some point. Even, you know, people that otherwise might be self-conscious. There was no problem with it at all. Not just in the pool, but just walking around in general and sitting down and talking to people. And it stopped being a group of people that you would normally look at and go, oh my God, that clothing just looks terrible on that person. Or, oh, she's so hot. to being just kind of people interfacing with each other without having to worry about that. That was, you know, even though you're there to kind of get with people and meet people, it kind of just floated away and melted away as a consideration because you didn't have to worry about that appearance thing anymore. And I have to admit, at the end of the night, it felt so almost inappropriate to have to put my clothes back on.
I agree with that.
it reminded me a lot of, and I told Cooper this, and I apologize, Cooper, but it reminded me a lot of the post Burning Man experience. When I left Nevada to come back to Chicago, to come back to Illinois, I would ride in the RV pretty much naked. And then whenever we stopped at a gas station, I'd be like, oh, I have to put my clothes on. Fine. Yeah. And so for the next few days, it just felt so foreign having to put clothes on. And I felt that way for a few hours after being at the resort because it just didn't feel, you know, natural to do that anymore. It felt so nice to be liberated from that.
Oh, I agree. I feel like that every day when I have to get up. I do.
Hey, everybody. Cooper here from the future, not the future of now, the future of this podcast. I'm here to let you know we have way too much content for a single episode here, and you're going to get to hear the rest of that on the next episode, episode 39. So for a little while, I want you to sit back and think about Ginger naked. And now if you want to go ahead and throw sexy gamer geek Shira on top of that, that's something to think about. So while you're doing that, I'm going to do, you know, my job here and let you know that if you want, you can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/theswingset. You can follow us on Twitter at swingsetlife. Contact us at contact@lifeontheswingset.com. You can give us a call at 573-55-SWING. That's 573-557-9464. We got a lot of really positive responses to our mailbag show, and we'd like to do those pretty regularly. But we'd love a lot more voicemail questions, and not just from our friends in the Great White North of Canada. If you could give us a call and leave us a voicemail with a question or comment or concern about the swinging lifestyle, polyamory, non-monogamy, or really just anything sexual, go ahead and leave that on our voicemail. If you are thinking of joining the swinging lifestyle, why not give that Cassidy button a click down on the right side of your screen there and sign up for a free trial of Cassidy.com, our favorite swinging website. It's the best looking, certainly. And it's growing more and more every day. So give it a try. Cassidy.com. And if you click that link down there, you're going to help support the swing set. And we'll be able to, you know, in PBS Pledge Drive style, keep delivering these quality shows time and time again. So come back next time for more about our club adventure at Couples Playhouse in Chicago's suburbs. Till then, I've been Cooper Beckett. Thank you to Ginger and Shira and Dylan. And thank you all for swinging by. Well, so this past weekend, who's typing?
I am. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Damn, there's this weird school teacher dynamic going on. What the hell?
It's very loud. That's the only thing.
Yeah, I
have and you're tweeting.
I was trying to help.
No, that's awesome. We can totally multitask. The more interactive, the better.
Okay, I'm just going to tweet that I just yelled at you for tweeting because I could hear you type.
I'm going to mute next time I type. And then only Dylan can hear me.
Yay!
You enjoy life on the swing set? Well, hey, why don't you come on over to iTunes and write us a little review? It doesn't have to be long. It makes all the difference in getting us seen by more people. And by seen, I mean heard, because we're a podcast. So if you come on over and give us a good review, we'll be very, very happy you did. And when we get happy, we tend to get naughty. So rate life on the swing set today.